Michael, A New Day. I'm not a star, not really. You'd recognise my face, I think, and maybe my name. I've a few characters that got famous and more than a few performances I'm proud of. But a star? No. Maybe that's why I've been able to so consistently work in this town and across the pond. I don't really have much of an ego about it, or an inflated sense of self. In terms of acting skill, I don't feel that it's really being arrogant to say that I'm good, even great some of the time. I can carry a movie as a villain or a lead. I'm still human, though. I still make mistakes. I sin and people sin against me. Things got bad in my marriage before I left. It was for the best. Anyone looking to lay the blame would find it a case of a 6 and 2 3s, and both of us are grateful for our 2 sons, Sam and Max. The divorce hit me harder than I expected. Still, we get on far better now that we're apart than we ever did together. We're basically friendly again, and both of us adapt to the other's schedule. My ex is a set designer and prop maker. She'd been busy day and night working on a new job for the last few months, so I had the boys around almost all the time except on weekends. Now that she was done, she'd taken them on a nice long vacation. I'd miss them, of course, but it made sense. I had a new television job starting soon, and I couldn't be around that much anyway. Still, sometimes I missed my ex-wife's company, and by that I mostly mean the sex. It was good. She was a looker, game for almost anything, and she liked things a bit rougher than the average girl. Almost perfect. I had the occasional one-night stand, but most of them weren't anything to write home about. I suppose I'm famous enough that it's not too hard for me to find company for the night. It might be easier for me to find someone to fuck, but that doesn't mean it's easier to find the right someone. I was, perhaps futilely, still looking for some kind of emotional connection. All of this is a very long way of saying that I had a good life, with some damage in it, like most everyone. I had few real complaints, perhaps an emptiness, but easily filled with the work of learning a new role or a quick trip somewhere nice. I threw on a shirt and jeans, made coffee, and ambled over to my workspace, really just a laptop on a glass desk. My apartment had a decent view of the city, for which I paid a great deal. On days like this, when the smog wasn't quite as present, it made it all worth it. It was around 9, when I would usually have a quick gab with Sarah, my personal assistant and all-round wizard. I called her, and, like always, she answered within a few seconds. Platinum blonde hair, neatly arranged, makeup somehow perfect. I'd have flirted with her if it weren't so unprofessional. Well, that's not precisely true. She was too good for my sort of work already. It was only a matter of time before I lost her to someone far more significant than I. But in the meantime, I counted myself blessed. "Morning, boss," she said in her wholesome Midwestern accent. "Morning, Sarah. What have I got today?" "Nothing too heavy. A podcast interview over lunch." "Where was that again?" "The studio is right above a little taco shop in Culver City. Seems like it's pretty informal. I've listened to the podcast before just for fun. It's informal, conversational. Sneak in a line or two about your next part and otherwise just relax." "All right. Sounds good. I'll be taking the afternoon to practice my lines and maybe get dinner later. Once you've finished with the accounting and the contract review, take the rest of the day off. I know it's been late nights for the past week or so." She flashed her smile, bright whites. Again, I wondered why she was working as my PA rather than trying to be a model, but I wasn't going to push my luck. "Will do, boss. Good luck." The late nights were primarily due to the extrication of my finances from my ex-wife. It wasn't acrimonious, but rather complex. Neither of us wanted to take too much, and both of us wanted to protect our boys' futures. I spent the remainder of the morning not really thinking of the podcast interview. Instead, I read and reread my lines for the pilot of The Old Blood. It was good dramatic horror, gothic in the classic sense of the word. But it was also clear that an American had written the dialogue for the British characters, and I made some notes. Nothing too harsh, just things to make it feel more natural. By the time I finished with my lines and sent the file back to the writer, it was time for me to get ready if I didn't want to be late. I had no earthly idea of where this would lead.
Layla, the beginning. I'm Layla. My mom loved everything about Eric Clapton, and that includes the song. I'm indifferent to it, but people say it's pretty, and I might change it soon just to be safe. But I'm getting ahead of myself. For now, I need to tell you about myself. I need you to understand where I'm coming from. I don't want you to think I'm just a slut. I am, and I own it, but my motivations have never been to hurt anyone. Really, they've just been to alleviate my own hurt. My mom wouldn't tell me about my dad. She did a great job of being a single mother, even without a lot of cash, and she taught me how to be tough and self-reliant. She was a makeup artist, sought after by some big names in Hollywood. I didn't really understand this, but I did get to meet a lot of actresses and actors and people in the film industry just by being with my mom on set or elsewhere. I had some male role models around, good teachers, a B-list actor who helped my mom out with some stuff, but no one close. I didn't even really miss having a dad until I was a teenager. Then something hit me, hard. I don't know what it was exactly. I felt like I was missing something inside, and I had this need for validation and care that only a dad could provide. Lots of older guys will happily play daddy for a cute young girl, but they won't actually mean any of it. For them, it was good fun, and for me, it was serious. I gave too much of myself and made a few mistakes, but I learned from them. At first, I had enjoyed the physical aspects and the taboo nature of the relationship and role play, but I realized I needed an emotional connection that was never present with these men who just saw me as a way to get off. By the time I turned 18, I was a little bit wiser, but I had come to a single conclusion. If my father was alive, I intended to find him. I still had a lot of fantasies about what my daddy was like and what we'd do when we met. I won't lie, not all of them were wholesome. Some were downright nasty. But nothing prepared me for the actuality of what ended up happening. Mom didn't want to help me find my father. She actively resisted it. We fought a lot over it, more than we ever had fought over the typical teenage stuff. Eventually, I stopped asking her. I moved out on my own, and our relationship got a lot better. I started school, but when my mom died suddenly from undiagnosed heart disease, it hit me hard. I started looking for anything to distract myself, to give my life meaning. My connections through my mother really paid off. I'd wanted to be an actress at one point, haven't we all? But as time passed, I realized I found the culture more interesting than the work itself. So I started a podcast. Like lots of people, but somewhat differently. Some of my mom's friends were willing to show up and be interviewed by me. I started out with softball questions, not wanting to offend, but I found that I had a conversational style that made people want to open up to me. I never did anything underhanded or manipulative. They just told me stories that they had never told anyone else, sometimes embarrassing or funny or deeply personal. I started to get a following of people, and the reviews all talked about how real my show was. I opened up some income streams, got a few sponsors, a Patreon. I was finally making some money, and it shocked me. A friend of mine, Jean, a B-movie scream queen and generally hilarious person, joined my podcast. We started doing live shows. Nothing major, but lots of people came. We stuck to the West Coast, still local. So I had some success and financial stability at a young age, and that let me start looking for my father for real. I hired private investigators, got access to specialized software databases, even hired a lawyer. I kept a layer of fiction between me and the investigation so that everyone thought they were actually investigating on behalf of a close family friend. Eventually, through methods that were not entirely ethical, I had a name. I couldn't get a DNA test done, not yet, but my people were 95% certain that this was the right guy. I had dreamed for a long time that my father would turn out to be a movie star, but the fact that he was still shocked me. Even more startling and shameful, he was someone I already kind of had a crush on. I mean, lots of people do, so that's not weird, is it? Anyway, the point is, I knew who my father, my daddy, was, and I already had a way to meet him. I sent out an invitation to his agent, who passed it on. I waited patiently. Well, I barely kept myself from calling them every day, but still, it paid off. I got him booked on the podcast, and his first available date was only 2 weeks away. This was it. My chance. I wouldn't waste it.
Michael, the podcast. I managed to arrive and find a parking place on time, something of a miracle at that hour. I was smart, if a bit casual, in fitted shirt and plain jeans, nothing that would stand out. It was, thankfully, audio only. I followed my directions and went up some rickety stairs at the side of the building. That didn't reassure me, but the plain metal door opened into a nice lounge, and I could see the studio behind a sturdy glass door. Two women sat before microphones at a simple table, chatting and laughing. The older of the two, a cheerful woman with a head of unruly red hair and a Metallica crop top, waved me in with a smile. The younger had black hair, a tight t-shirt with a classic Dracula poster on it, and she was somewhat frantically going through her bag. I would be lying if I said I didn't notice the latter more than the former. She had flawless makeup, perfect hair, and eyes that invited me to look into them. It's a bit of a cliche, but I certainly felt something when I saw her. There were a million attractive women in LA, but something about her drew me immediately. I entered the comfortable closeness of the studio. I'd grown to appreciate little audio shows like this. Only a few people on staff, very informal, no pressure. The questions tended to be better, and the conversations more enjoyable. It was also an easy way to promote whatever I happened to be in without much effort. I sat down at the round table in front of a microphone. "I'm Jean, and that beauty over there rifling through her bag is Layla," the redhead said.
"Hi."
Layla paused and looked up at me before waving. My first impression was that she seemed oddly shy and quiet to be on a podcast. "Do you want anything to drink?" Jean asked. "We have, water and Coke. That's basically it." Water would be fine. As Jean got me water from a cooler in the corner, I truly noticed Layla. To my amusement, I could tell that she was doing everything she could to avoid simply staring at me, but was still peeking from the corner of her eye when she thought I wasn't looking. It wasn't annoying. It was rather cute. "Don't mind Layla," Jean said with a smirk, setting the ice-cold bottle of water in front of me. "She just has something of a puppy crush on you. She'll warm up when she gets going."
Jean, that's not... I mean, I'm not...
Layla started, suddenly flushed with embarrassment. Then she paused, relieved, and smiled. The simple change of expression changed everything about her, it seemed, brightening the room.
"Oh, there. I knew I had my tablet. It has all my questions on it."
"Oh? I thought this was going to be pretty informal." "Where's the fun in an interview if you don't get some hardball questions?" Jean asked, with a wink. I honestly already liked both of them. The session itself went about as well as such things can. The conversation was witty, with Jean throwing in some innuendo now and then. They both asked questions that were interesting and not the type of thing that I was fully accustomed to. Layla in particular seemed to have done some extensive research on my past and had questions about my early acting education, mostly learning through getting lucky on a few minor roles, and working in LA, including some of the things I'd rather forget about. The city has a long memory for things like drug use, however. It was all friendly and fun. "So can you tell us about your latest project?" Jean asked, finally, signalling that we were near the end of the interview, giving me the standard courtesy of self-promotion. "Yes, it's called Old Blood. I get to play a traditional historical horror role with a bit of a predatory twist. The cast is tremendous, and I think it's going to have a great reception, and to be honest, I love every day on the set there.
I'd love to, if I got paid to get in bed with Rebecca Vanders,
Layla said, a bit more cattily than I had expected. Rebecca was a gorgeous blonde, but more importantly, an incredible performer, and I was playing one of her romantic interests. While I did not expect it here, I had become used to the professional abilities of women being dismissed due to their appearance. My response was driven by that experience. She's a very skilled actress, and it's past time she got to be a lead in something of this scale. She's really been stuck in supporting roles for far too long. It's a privilege to work with her, appearance notwithstanding.
Sorry, I didn't mean to imply anything,
Layla said, although she clearly had. That being said, she sounded genuinely apologetic. She added something interesting after.
When I was really young, I got to meet her on the set of Kid Stuff. She was really patient with me, and I'm sure I asked a lot of annoying questions. I'm glad she's finally getting recognition.
The recording ended on that note, and we bantered a bit before leaving. Then Jean got a call. She apologized, but took it. I often wonder what might have happened if she had ignored it. As soon as the conversation was just between myself and Layla, it was as though the atmosphere changed. Before, based on her demeanor, I would have placed her in her mid to late 20s, but now I would have said that she was 20, or even younger. She looked at me, all pretense gone, all eagerness. It was enchanting, if I'm honest.
Do you want to get some dinner later? Layla, an innocent proposal. I couldn't believe that I asked him. I wanted to play it cool, maybe see if he'd ask me out first. That would have been ideal for a number of reasons. I certainly wasn't planning on inviting him to dinner that night, and in front of Jean, too. Not that she would think badly of me, but she'd definitely be asking me for details later if we did go out. It didn't matter. For a moment, I could see his dark eyes grow cold, and I was certain he was going to refuse me.
Sure,
he said, making my heart race easily with his lopsided smile.
I'll pick you up about 8. Maybe somewhere a bit upscale if you're up for it. My treat.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful. I'll text you my address. And of course, texting him my address meant that he had to give me his mobile number. And just like that, we had a date. I ignored his grin. I knew that he was pleased by my embarrassment. Something about that made it even worse. And better. I squirmed where I stood, without thinking. I don't remember much of the rest of the conversation or that afternoon. I was in a daze, a potent mix of anticipation and fantasies. Too many of them were sexual. As I got ready, I reminded myself with each glance at the mirror that being appealing and seductive was a means to an end, and that end was absolutely not seducing the man I believed to be my father, but simply to get him to open up to me a bit. Sometimes, I even believed it. In any case, I was sure that this would be the night that I would tell him. I would wait, see if he'd drink enough to loosen up his tongue. I wasn't trying to trap him in any material way. I was making decent money, had contacts. I simply didn't want him to be in any condition to deny the possibility of his fatherhood. In fact, ideally, he would be willing to part with some of his DNA for a test. I could have stolen it from him, taken it from the lip of his water bottle, or found a way to steal some hair. I told myself that I didn't do it because of the moral implications, but here I was, still using deception to reach the same ends. The truth, as even I knew it then, was that I wanted to spend at least a little bit more time with my daddy as a woman and not his daughter. I wanted to feel his gaze moving over me. I wanted to be the sole focus of his attentions. I wanted to feel what maybe my mother had felt, and for a few moments, maybe have the sense of validation that I'd been aching for. Even his presence was somehow addictive. By the time I'd finished slipping into my sexy, yet understated, little black dress and making my eyes look devastatingly smoky, I was craving him. That worried me. An infatuated girl made more mistakes. My mom had taught me that. Michael arrived a little bit late, not out of any urge to be fashionable, but because despite his preparations, traffic was worse than expected. I didn't hold it against him. I was smiling pretty widely when I hopped into the passenger seat of his Mercedes at the curb. He pulled away quickly, so he couldn't get a good look at me, but I was able to study him as he drove. He wore a dark gray suit, no tie, collar a bit open, very slick, but somehow just a bit casual. He was focused while he drove, precise and careful, eyes intense, even a bit frightening. The woodsy scent of his cologne, understated and undoubtedly expensive, wafted over to me and made me a little lightheaded. I bit my lip and tried to sound sophisticated. Good to see you, Michael.
Same to you. Sorry I'm late.
5 minutes over isn't late, especially in this town. We paused at a stoplight long enough for his eyes to wander over me, taking me in from my strappy heels to my thighs, skirt, and bare shoulders. I shivered slightly. This was going to be a difficult night if I couldn't contain my reactions.
You look gorgeous.
Thanks. You look nice too, I said, before mentally kicking myself. Nice? He looked like sex in a suit, and all I could come up with was nice. We were fairly silent for the rest of the drive. There was quite a bit of traffic, and not everyone was as good a driver as he was, so I didn't want to distract him. I used the time to calm myself and remember why I was doing this. I was going to be charming, sexy, and fun. I was going to get him to admit some things that would either confirm or deny his relationship with my mother. I would tell him either here or at a later time of my suspicions and ask for a DNA test. An easy, straightforward plan. You know what they say about plans, though. Before I knew it, we had parked and he had ushered me into the restaurant, his hand a firm presence on the small of my back. This place was nice. I realized that I had heard of it before, a traditional, if upscale, Portuguese restaurant. It was small, cozy even, with candlelight. I looked around and saw a producer that I recognized. We sat down, did the traditional small talk about being hungry and the menu. By the time our meals arrived, which were delicious, I had already had 2 glasses of wine, which is a lot for me. I didn't lose track of my main objective, however. You know, I said, putting on my podcast voice yet again, I did a lot of research on you, but there's almost nothing about your childhood or family.
Family is an easy answer. My mother passed away when I was about your age, and my father right before I left for the States. Loved them both, although they were very different than you might expect. I grew up a bit more street than most people think,
he said with a laugh. Oh? What does that mean?
My accent. Well, I have to change it all the time now anyway, but it used to be thicker and rougher. Not quite so classy, which is what most directors expect.
So you were like, what? A proper gangster? I said, the last 2 words in my best, worst, fake British accent, and he chuckled.
Nothing that interesting. Just working class with some criminal activity on the side. I did a bit of theft as a very young man, may have used some illicit substances. I was fortunate in that I had influences around me who made me better, as opposed to worse.
You had a bad boy reputation for years in LA. He smirked. I was getting addicted to his expressions.
I was mostly honest by then, just enjoyed the occasional party. The only crimes I committed were against my own mind and body. And I gave up drugs pretty early. I just couldn't work under the influence. And I found out that acting was its own motivation. I wanted to be better than I was. I wanted to learn and be busy. I wanted money, of course, but to my own surprise, I cared less about it than making sure I did the utmost to give the audiences an enjoyable and emotional experience.
Thanks for putting up with my questions, I said, expressing real gratitude. All of that fit. I knew that my mother had been a wild girl before she had me and fully embraced her career. I knew that my father had been a bad boy, but she had refused to tell me much else, insisting that meeting him wouldn't be worth the drama involved. I suspected that cocaine had, in part, fueled their affair. My mother just stopped using before he did. He paused for a moment, sipped his wine, then surprised me a bit.
Can I ask you a question I typically never ask a woman on the first date?
Ooh, intriguing. Go ahead.
When I first saw you, I put you in early to mid-20s. After the podcast, I thought you might be as young as 18. Seeing you tonight makes me think you could be almost 30. I'm intrigued.
I laughed. Feeling a bit guilty, perhaps? Like you might be robbing the cradle?
I'm not too worried about it. To be honest, I'm impressed. I've seen professional makeup on sets that were far worse than yours. How old are you really?
This would have been a good chance to alter the conversation. It wasn't quite flirting, or at least not heavily so. I could have told him my exact age. I could have let him know that my mother was a makeup artist. He might have even been able to draw his own conclusions that I was his daughter. I chose not to. The play acting of being on a date with my own father suddenly became a reality. How old do you want me to be, Michael? I said, managing to sound both sultry and sensual. I suspect that the wine helped. He paused, blinked, and I realized for the first moment that he was truly affected by me too. He felt the same attraction. He was just older, more composed, and a far better actor than me. He paid quickly, tipped well, and led me to the car where he held the door open. I slinked into the passenger seat as he closed the door behind me like a gentleman. I only wobbled a tiny bit.
Layla, what now?
The wine gave me courage, and my desire outweighed my shame. I gave him my best, wide-eyed impression of innocence before answering. Well, Michael, you're the driver, so I'm at your mercy. I suppose the destination depends on where and how you want to take me. He did not answer, but even before he left the parking lot, I knew where we were headed.
Michael, broken boundaries. I drove back to my apartment a bit too fast, but I hadn't been this eager to be with a woman since I'd first met my wife. It was a nice change from the purely physical distractions of some of the one-night stands I'd had. Even though she was significantly younger, I'd already felt a deeper connection with Layla than I'd expected. She reminded me of something. A place. Or a time. Or a person. I couldn't quite place it. But I didn't need to. I should have been a little more clear-headed about the whole thing, I suppose. Normally, I would never have slept with someone who had just interviewed me. Nothing personal. It was just a good way to get bad press. I parked quickly and led Layla to the elevator. She was giggling the whole way. We kissed for the first time in there, and I found myself pressing her hard against the cold metal, her hands running over my back eagerly, mine on her arse. Her scent was intoxicating, and I could tell that she was already quite excited. "Come on," I said, leading her out and down the hall, holding her wrist perhaps a little too hard. Her laughter told me that it didn't bother her. I let us in, and naturally, the first thing she noticed, looking past the couch and the desk, was the view. The lights from downtown were sparkling, and in the distance there was a bit of a storm high up, the lightning flashing at intervals, followed by a very soft thunder.
"Wow,"
she said, sounding young again.
"Your place is amazing."
"Oh?" I said, walking up behind her, putting my hands on her shoulders and running them down her arms. "I like the view from here too." She laughed, this time a little bit nervously. I wasn't sure why, but I kissed her on the head and then moved down to her neck. I kissed and nipped and finally bit her.
"Fuck,"
she said, voice barely over a whisper, as I pushed first one strap of her dress off one fine shoulder and then the other. The garment fell to the floor, and the reflection in the glass of the window showed me a gorgeous chest, unencumbered by a bra and a skimpy set of lace panties. I held her breasts, firmly kneading them before tweaking her nipples, already pert and ready. She moaned and leaned back into me.
"Not fair, Michael. That's not fair."
"Oh, really? What would be fair?"
I can't think right now.
"Do you want me to stop? A question I already knew the answer to. I was being a merciless tease.
No, sir, please keep going.
Only because you asked so nicely, I said. But then I was anything but nice. I spun her around and kissed her again, this time crushing her against me. She kissed me back, and what she lacked in experience, she made up for with eagerness. I pushed her back until she ran into the sturdy glass desk behind her, and she gasped in surprise. I swept it clean of everything, pens, papers, even my laptop and desk lamp. I pushed her onto her back on it. I saw in her eyes the arousal and fear of being my prey, and it only made me more excited. I mauled her breasts. I forgot how to be gentle, although I wasn't truly rough. I kissed and nipped, and she writhed under my affections. I ripped her panties off, heedless of her little yelp of surprise. I threw her thighs over my shoulders and explored her swollen, needy pussy with my mouth. God, the scent of her drove me mad, past desire, into something deeper, almost feral. I licked and sucked and tasted her, but without any particular skill or technique. It was simply the need to do so, beyond anything rational.
Michael.
My name in her voice ended in a deep, long moan. That moan made me act more precipitously than perhaps I would otherwise. I stood, threw my jacket off to the side and unzipped, but stayed dressed. Although she lay on her back on the desk, thighs spread, her eyes stayed glued to my cock as I pulled it out. I did not even consider pausing to get a condom. As I positioned myself to enter her, her eyes shot up and locked with mine. I thrust into her. And though I was not careful like I should have been, nor was I brutal, that came later. Layla cried out. Again, I put her thighs up on my shoulders, eager to go as deeply as I could within her. There was no build-up or preamble of slow movements. I was vigorous and fast from the beginning. I think I heard her make a noise between pleasure and pain, and then her body shuddered and thrashed in the telltale signs of orgasm. That was when I really knew that she enjoyed a little force from her men, and I did not let up. We did not say anything more, only moans and groans, and the sound of our flesh meeting filled my apartment. She mewled and whimpered as she came again, and I pinned her wrists to the desk above her head as we shifted to be nearer to one another. I was close, and she knew it. She gave me the slightest of nods and wrapped her legs tightly around me, wanting me deep inside before I let go. Our eyes met again as I came inside her, grunting and groaning loudly. Her back arched and her body went rigid and shuddered one more time as an orgasm shook her before she went limp. That was the first time I had her. I took her to bed and we had sex again, this time more slowly, her riding me. Again, no condom was used, and again we both came. She slept on my chest or spooned in my arms, practically glued to me the entire night, unwilling to let even a bit of space come between us. I should have been a bit worried about her becoming overly attached, but instead, I was just enchanted by her mix of innocence and sensuality. The morning after was just like many other I'd had, save that we were far more comfortable together. Though neither of us said anything particularly deep or important, it felt like we had known each other forever. She walked around adorably in one of my shirts, I made her breakfast, and then I had to go, so I offered to drive her home. I made sure she got home safely, dropping her outside her apartment complex. She kissed me before she got out of the car, but didn't say anything. I watched her sway in her heels all the way inside. At that point, I wanted to see her again, but I wasn't sure what the previous night had represented for her. Was it just a bit of fun with an older man? A realization of a long-held crush? Or something more? I couldn't stop thinking about her all day. I was supposed to be in meetings, discussions of upcoming roles, schedules, and travel, including filming on location in Ireland. I had difficulty focusing. Layla didn't make that any easier with her texts. The first one was simple.
I had a good time last night.
I replied simply, I did too. There was a break. And then a nice mirror pic of her, topless. The light bruises I'd left on her breasts were barely visible. I winced just a little. Not that she had complained, but I should have had more self-control. Another text.
I love all the marks you left on me. I just keep looking at them, thinking about how primal you got with me. I've been wet all day today, Daddy. I think you should take responsibility for that, don't you?
It was the first time she ever called me Daddy. I could almost hear her hesitation through the text. I didn't normally mind being called that, but nor did it do a lot for me. There was something quite different about Layla using the word, and it affected me. Be careful what you call me, or you'll get more marks than you want, young lady. A long pause then. I smiled. I knew that my words had shaken her more than she'd expected.
You wondered how old I was last night. But what if I was a lot younger for you tonight? Would you come over and be my daddy?
Well, I didn't take long to think that over. Too right, I will. I'll bring dinner, too. I was answered with a picture of her biting her lip, a slight upturn indicating a naughty little smile, and then one more text.
Perfect. See you at 8.
And then she'd sent me her address with a few hearts after it. Things were moving quickly now.
Layla. Middle space. The previous night weighed on me like a physical thing. Part of me wanted to call Michael and confess everything to him. Part of me wanted to hide it, to keep the shameful secret inside of myself forever. Both parts wanted to beg him to fuck me again. I spent most of the day in a daze, just trying to get through a few simple chores and writing for the podcast, but eventually I just gave up and started sending sex to my father. In my messages, I had acted like it was Michael's fantasy that I was catering to, but it wasn't. I didn't even bother trying to fool myself like I'd fooled him. I'd always wanted my dad around when my mom and I had had major disagreements. I guess that led to different ideas when I'd grown into my sexuality. I'd fight with mom, and then I'd storm off to my room. I'd need to relax, and I'd start fantasizing about running into my father's arms. He'd always be understanding, always take my side. He'd take me into his lap, and I'd tell him what was bothering me. He'd be a great listener. I'd feel him stroking my hair, and slowly, I'd relax. For a long time, that's where the fantasy ended. But as I found the internet and the idea of taboo fantasies, my imagination added more. As he stroked my hair, I'd fall into a drowsy state. Not quite awake or asleep, then his hands would move. He'd touch me all over my chest and legs. His hands would travel up between my thighs until he reached my panties. He'd take them off, slowly. He'd leave me sitting in his lap, but he'd spread my legs to the outside of his, and then he'd tell me what a pretty little pussy I had before he started fingering me. The first time I let myself have this fantasy, I came so hard I almost blacked out. That changed my perspective. I had never shared this with anyone, but it was in the back of my mind when I was getting ready for my second date with my own father. At first, for obvious reasons. I'd just had amazing sex with him the night before, after all. But then, as I started working on my makeup, I sort of felt my mind regress a little bit. You see, I was always the same in my fantasies, even though I'd grown older. There was a part of my mind that ached to get the kind of validation and treatment that girls only got at a certain age. I wanted him to think I was smart and pretty, of course. But I also wanted him to be indulgent of my immaturity and my inappropriate flirtations. I wanted him to be too protective, not wanting me to date. I wanted him to get angry about how I dressed. I wanted him to lose control and teach me a lesson about what happened to little sluts like me who got men all worked up. Then I wanted him to comfort me and tell me I was his good girl. That was the fantasy I was working toward that night, but like before, as I played him, I played myself. I took my time picking out the right clothes, just the right blend of fun and slutty and slightly trashy, the kind of thing I had thought was sophisticated and sexy when I was younger. I put on my makeup, going for the sexy, gothic look that I'd perfected with my mother's help so long ago. But when I looked in the mirror, I didn't look right. I looked too old. Even though I risked being late, I cleaned it off and started over. As I applied my makeup, making my eyes look big and innocent, I started fully descending back into that idealized time that I never truly had. I thought about the kind of man I had wanted as a daddy, and how much my actual father had turned out to fit that role. I emphasized my cheeks just a little bit more than normal, making myself look more youthful. And lastly, I made sure my lips were just a slightly too bright shade of red. I stood back and took in the whole picture. That's when I really knew what I was doing. I was a lure, an invitation. A younger man might find me hot, but an older man would know exactly what a girl like me wanted, what I needed. And maybe, if I was lucky, he wouldn't show me any mercy when he gave it to me. I was in a mood. I took down a few framed posters and put up some other ones. Things that fit my younger frame of mind. Loud pop art and posters from MCR and Typo Negative. I threw some gothic plushies around my small living room. Lastly, I grabbed a lollipop and smiled at myself, completing the scene. I took one more look around, this time much more carefully. In my excitement, I had forgotten the most important step. I took down the picture of my mother that I kept at my bedside. Similarly, I grabbed the pictures on the fridge. They were of her when she had been younger, working on the set of various movies. Lastly, I removed the collection of images and notes I had on the wall of my bedroom. They were of Michael and were less of a shrine to him than an investigation file. Everything went rather carelessly into a bedroom closet. I finished closing it just in time. The doorbell rang. I walked to the door, took a deep breath, and waited for him to ring the bell again. It wouldn't do to look too eager. On the second bell, I smiled and opened the door for my father.
"Hey, Daddy,"
I said before putting my lollipop back in my mouth and sucking on it audibly. My eyes were pools of innocence, but I was already soaking through my panties just standing there under the fire of his gaze. Had he asked me, I would have begged him to wear what he already was. A black, three-piece suit, professional green tie, white shirt, all of it tailored precisely to the lines of his body that I was far too familiar with than I should have been. I knew right away that we were going to fuck again, but I didn't suspect how it would make me feel, nor how far we'd go. Even if I had, even knowing where it would take me, I don't know if I would have been capable of making different decisions. All I really can be sure of is that I finally got what I deserved.
"Afternoon, Layla,"
Michael said, following me inside. He set a bag down that smelled amazing on my kitchen table and took off his suit coat. For a long time, Michael just looked at me. He didn't leer. He simply looked. I stood still as he walked a full circle around me like he was evaluating a new piece of art for his living room or a horse. I couldn't even breathe. I felt his judgment. He touched me lightly on the small of my back. I gasped, but I knew what he wanted. I didn't need to be told. I stood up straight, arched my back a bit, thrusting my chest out. I forced myself to stand still. I wanted to shift from foot to foot. I wanted to turn and beg him to tell me what he was thinking. I wanted to just get on my knees. I felt so helpless and young in front of him. It was exactly what I wanted. When he finally stood in front of me again, one corner of his mouth rose in a wry smirk. He knew what he was doing to me. He knew that I needed more of last night, and all he would do is give me a light touch on the back. It was so frustrating. I felt myself regress just a bit more. I'd been so self-assured just a few minutes ago, but now? Now I was just a brat who wanted attention from her daddy. I let my posture slouch to one side, crossing my arms across my chest before sucking on my lollipop loudly and rolling my eyes dramatically. He knew what I was doing and immediately played along, or at least I thought he was playing.
"Do you have something you want to say to me, young lady?"
"As if you're even going to listen. You just showed up and already you're acting like a..."
"Like what?" Exactly.
His tone was lower, almost a whisper. It was so threatening. I shivered uncontrollably, but I wouldn't be intimidated.
Like a fucking jerk! You think you can just come in my house and walk around like, Daddy!
I had all the lines set up in my head, the exact sequence of words that I just knew would set him off, but apparently, I was more right than I knew. He never let me finish. He just grabbed my arm and dragged me to the couch. I knew he was gripping me hard enough to have bruises. We didn't have a safe word. Nothing about this was safe. Was this what he was like normally? Or was he losing control of himself just like I was? I was terrified, but I knew that no matter what happened, I wasn't going to say no or beg him to stop. I wanted my daddy's attention, and I was going to get it, no matter how much it hurt. He sat down hard, and I struggled just for a second, because I thought I should. It wouldn't be as good for either of us if I just obeyed. He yanked me by the wrist hard, and I practically fell across his lap. He was so strong, it was almost embarrassing how easily he arranged me. I knew it was going to happen, obviously, but it didn't become real until he pulled my short skirt up over my ass and yanked my tiny panties down hard. I was completely exposed to him.
Daddy!
I said, pleadingly, but he wasn't moved a bit.
Tell me something, Layla. Have you been a good girl?
I could hear the capital letters in my head. I knew then that I wanted to be his good girl. I needed to be. I was jealous and envious of anyone who ever had been. I deserved to be his only good girl.
What? I mean, yes. Yes, I have, Daddy. I've been very good. I've worked hard and I dressed up for you and...
No. You have not been a good girl. Do you know why?
I shook my head. I was shaking now. All over.
You have an unacceptable attitude. I suppose what you've been lacking is discipline. Don't worry. You'll get what you need tonight.
Daddy, I
never got farther than that. The first spank landed hard and was probably a bit lower than he intended. I learned later that he was quite experienced at delivering consensual discipline, but then again, he was losing control already. It hurt like a motherfucker.
Ow! You fucker!
The words escaped my mouth before I could stop them. I didn't even mean them.
No, wait, Daddy, I didn't mean...
The second spank was harder on the other side, but at least it landed in the center this time. He grunted slightly with the effort, and I absolutely cried out in shock and pain and embarrassment. I was already so fucking wet. He had to know. He could see and smell me. He knew what a little slut I was. The next spank hit on my right side again, low. And this time, it was definitely on purpose, if not quite as hard. I squealed in an undignified fashion. He chuckled. But this time, I forced myself to calm down, even though I could feel the tears starting. He wanted me to be good, so I would be. I wouldn't resist or fight. The following four spanks came in a rapid succession. Left, right, left, right. Carefully aimed, but drifting a bit off to the sides. I squealed again before sobbing as he landed two hard smacks on the low right again. I was going to have a nice, big bruise there to remember this by. I bit my lip, thinking about it, before I felt his hand again. I jumped, just slightly, but this time he was gentle. He rubbed and massaged the areas that he'd been so avidly abusing just a few moments ago. It was soothing to both my body and my mind.
Do you have something you want to say to me, young lady?
I found myself having trouble speaking, choking back sobs. He reduced me so quickly to my foundations. I took too long answering and two more spanks landed on my left. I cried out. I could smell his sweat now. He was working hard, showing me no mercy. He was giving me exactly what I wanted. I sobbed as the spanks blended together, arching my back and instinctively trying to get away from the punishment. Finally, it ended, and again, he massaged my sore ass.
Are you ready to behave now?
His accent was sharp, artificially upper class. He was using it as a weapon, trying to make me weak. It worked.
Daddy, I'm so sorry.
I somehow managed to sob out.
I was upset because you were gone all day and wanted your attention.
Are you ready to behave like a good girl?
Yes, sir.
His hand stopped moving then, and slowly, even as I was speaking, he slid his finger inside me. It felt so very thick, stretching me out.
I have to confess, Layla, there's something quite special about you. You're smart, gorgeous, mature, and bratty in the way I like.
I gasped as he thrust another finger inside me. He was forcing them in and out so quickly now, casually bringing me closer and closer to orgasm.
Thank you, sir. I want you to like me.
I can tell. So, now that you're behaving, I should probably let you know that good girls get to come. Do you want to come?
Yes, sir. But I don't want to make you come. I want to make it up to you.
And how would you do that?
With my mouth, sir?
Well, it is a very pretty, if occasionally smart, mouth, isn't it? I'd like that. Get on your knees.
The last words were delivered with a finality that allowed no room for denial. Not that I had any capacity to say no at that point. As I slid onto my knees in front of my father, my daddy, I realized that no matter what I may have told myself, there was really nothing I wouldn't do for the tiniest shred of his validation. I'd debase myself endlessly just to hear him say I was a good girl. No, that I was his good girl. He stood in front of me now. I expected him to pull out his cock. I was eager for it, but he didn't. I whined slightly. He stroked my hair, an indulgent smile on his face, pushing some behind my ear. I squirmed. Finally, I spoke.
Can I take it out, Daddy?
Can you take what out? Be specific.
Your cock, sir. Can I take it out and suck it? I really want to.
I should have been shocked by how young I sounded. I wasn't in the least. I had sunk so far into submission and was in a mind space where I was, in fact, a bratty little girl who just wanted Daddy's attention. And I was finally getting it. I unzipped him and took my father's cock out. It looked so large compared to the size of my hand. I moved my hand up and down, jerking him off. I looked up at him, my smile real and wide as he groaned. I did that. I made my daddy happy. I opened my mouth and took him inside of it. God, I thought about this so many times before. This wasn't my first time going down on a guy. I felt weirdly guilty about it now. There wasn't anything wrong with what I had done, but those other men hadn't been my daddy. And now I knew that my mouth and throat were only for him. I tried to take him too deep, too fast. I was eager. I gagged and choked, and he withdrew enough to let me breathe. But he didn't stop me. He stroked my hair, and he was so, so gentle. It made me want to do better for him. I looked up at him and met his eyes. I hoped that he saw my adoration. Then I really started. I took him deep, went up and down on him, used one of my hands on the base of his cock. With my other hand, I put his on my head, letting him know what I really wanted without having to ask for it. When I felt his fingers twine and tighten in my hair, I knew that he understood. I was growing tired and having a little trouble breathing now. His cock was slick with my saliva and I was drooling all over it. I wasn't giving myself time to get enough air, but I didn't care. If I blacked out, I blacked out. This was my penance for lying to my father. This was my gift to him. I slowed down and didn't take him as deeply. I didn't want to. I was just running out of energy. I'd never gone this far this fast before. But then, I didn't need to do anything. He was moving my head back and forth, thrusting his hips. Without warning, he forced himself deep inside me, holding himself there. I couldn't breathe, but again, I didn't care. My daddy was giving me the face fucking I wanted. I was so fucking wet. My vision began to go black at the sides and my hands fought him now of their own accord. He pulled back and I breathed in great sobs of air.
Good girl, Layla,
he said, before thrusting himself back inside of my mouth. Now, just a hole for his pleasure. I looked up and met his eyes, and I saw the heat of desire and anger and even love. I squirmed. No one had ever looked at me like that before, and I wasn't prepared for it. I could tell he wouldn't be done with me until he had completely ruined me for all other men. Michael really went hard then, bruising the back of my throat, using me. He wasn't speaking, but grunting and groaning, making every kind of noise that got me so worked up. Finally, he let out a loud growl, and I felt him swell and grow, and then, without warning, I felt his hot cum coating my tongue. I was gagging, choking on his cum. I knew my mascara must be running from my tears. I sucked harder. I wanted all of my daddy's cum. I tried to swallow all of it, but there was too much, and I had gone too long without air. I choked and coughed and practically fell off his cock. I felt his cum dribbling down my chin and onto my shirt. Suddenly, I was sitting on the floor of my living room and trying to breathe and make sense of what had just happened. I was still in a different space in my head, subby and young, and I felt like I just needed to shut down for a bit and let Michael take charge. Fortunately, he did. It was like I was watching from outside of my body as he gently lifted me to my feet and led me into my own bedroom. He sat on the edge of the bed and pulled me into his lap. There, he held me for a bit, saying nothing but stroking my hair again, rubbing my back, making me feel relaxed and safe and happy. After what could have been a few minutes or half an hour, I stood up. I'll be right back. I just need to get cleaned up. Then maybe we can, eat or whatever, I said. I knew I wanted more of what I had just had, but I didn't know how much recovery time he would need. I didn't want to put any pressure on him, but I was ready for another fucking like he'd given me on our first date. By the time the night was over, I wanted to be sore everywhere. I went to the bathroom and examined myself in the mirror. Technically, I was still dressed, although I wasn't wearing panties anymore. My lipstick was smeared and my eyeliner was running in thick streaks. My father's cum covered my chin and my shirt was direly stained with it. I cleaned the cum up and my lipstick as best I could, but I didn't worry too much about the shirt. Also, I left the mascara. It was a good look, at least for the moment, and I wanted him to look at me for a while and think about what a good girl I'd been for him. I left my bathroom to go join him in bed. That's where everything went horribly wrong.
What the fuck is this, Layla?
What's what? I asked, face lit up with a happy smile. My expression fell when I saw what he was holding. I felt my blood go cold and was lightheaded for just a moment. I'd fucked up.
Michael, ruining her. This, I said, feeling an unfamiliar, seething anger building inside of me. These pictures of me, the detailed notes, and the pictures of this other woman.
Did you go through my closet?
Layla's attempt at seeming outraged was as transparent as it was fragile. No, I did not fucking go through your things. I didn't have to. The pictures were just sticking out from under the door. Now, tell me, is this your mother? I was holding pictures of a woman I had known many years before. We had both been quite close at one time,
And now, holding them in front of Layla, the resemblance was quite obvious. The last time I had seen Melissa had been when we'd had a fight over, God, I can't even remember. We'd both been high, and something came up. I never called her again, and she never contacted me, so the brief, passionate affair ended just like that, with no other impact on either of our lives. Or so I thought.
Yeah, that's my mother. And yes, those are pictures of you and, some research.
Research? This is bloody stalker material is what this is. There's stuff from my past that I've never told anyone, never even talked about since I first came to LA. But you're not a stalker, are you? Layla looked down. If she was pretending to be afraid and ashamed, then she was a far better actor than me. Her voice was that of a little girl who had let her parents down with a terrible report card.
No, Daddy.
Don't you dare fucking call me that. Do you understand how sick it is that you called me that? You clearly think that I'm your father.
We don't. I'm not even sure you're actually my father.
Her voice was panicked now. Maybe I should have backed down, been the more mature person. I was more responsible here, in a way, even though she had lied to me. No, you're thorough, aren't you, Layla? Just like your mother. And your mother was a smart, decent woman. We used coke together, to be sure, but she was always a one-man woman, and she wasn't the sort to simply get with another guy right after our relationship. God, the math even works, doesn't it? Do you have any idea what you've done? I was getting angrier, louder, but still not shouting. I felt my vision tunnel just a bit. I was enraged, more than I had been in ages. Layla thought that it was all directed at her, of course, and much of it was, but that would pass. I was more angry at her mother, and, naturally, myself. I'd had a daughter all this time and had never known, and then I'd had her. God in heaven. My rage disappeared for the moment.
Michael, please, I never planned any of this. I mean, I had suspicions and I wanted to meet you and it went so well. I just wanted to go to dinner with you and bring up the idea that I could be your daughter, but things just got out of hand. I found myself very attracted to you, and it was like I was helpless. Please understand. Please.
I wasn't listening to her. I was mentally preparing myself to get dressed and get in my car and leave. I could call Sarah. She wasn't a PR person, but she knew people. She could get me ahead of this. I'll admit that at that moment, I was driven more by a fear of losing my career than by morality. I was desperately trying to convince myself that Layla no longer mattered to me. I could not, however. My panic turned back into rage. This time, far worse than before. She was still talking. My deceitful, shameless little girl was still trying to convince me to do what she wanted.
Just don't leave. If you go, we won't be able to talk about this, and you'll just end up hating me, and later you'll regret it. Shit. I don't mean like a threat, just like that you'll look back and miss me.
Don't push me, Layla, I said through gritted teeth. Not now. We can talk about this later. After you cool off, you might think differently of me. But she wasn't having any of it. The words were pouring out of her, searing me like they were boiling water. I could see the rage in her eyes, the pain and loss, the blame that she wanted to assign to me but couldn't, the many, many things she needed to say to me. She practically sobbed the words out.
After I cool off? What the fuck are you talking about? You think that this is, what, a fucking crush? I meant what I said. I never planned any of this, but maybe I should have. Maybe you need a little girl to fuck and use. I wanted you before I even knew who you were. I wanted to fuck my father since I knew what fucking was. You can tell me you don't love me, and you can say you don't want me anymore. But don't you dare tell me who I want, Daddy.
The last word was said with such venom that I was taken aback, almost. My own anger was rising again, meeting hers. The little slut would dare to attack me, now, after all of her lies. I felt something give way deep within me. I had my hand in her hair at the base of her neck before she had a chance to react. I pulled back hard and held her easily. She gasped, but did not scream. She was so small in contrast to me. I could easily do whatever I wanted to her, and I decided to do just that. With my other hand, I ruthlessly pulled at the shirt that barely held her breasts. I had the easy strength that comes only with true rage, and it tore with a loud protest. She cried out, louder now, although I doubt I hurt her. I'd give her something to cry about. I held her in place using her hair as leverage as I mauled her tits. I tossed her onto the bed as if she weighed no more than a rag doll. She instinctively rose on her elbows, trying to kick and back away from me. I grasped one of her ankles and pulled her over. Again, her resistance was pointless. I pried her legs open and got between them on the bed. I licked and nipped and bit at her breasts before working my way down over her stomach and finally to that beautiful pussy. I lapped her up, ruthlessly this time. I don't know how long I ate her out. I was so harsh, and there was not an inch of care in what I did. She came even as she struggled with me. She tried to push me away, but I wrapped my arms around her thighs and held her in place. She thrashed about, having rapid-fire orgasms, the sensitivity of her clit making the process close to, if not actually, painful. Still, I did not stop until I could no longer wait for what I really wanted. I rose up and looked down at my poor, savaged daughter. She was sobbing, breathing hard, recovering from the tongue-lashing I had just given her. She was almost limp, and she looked at me with wide, innocent eyes. Well, I wouldn't fall for that again. I grasped her thigh and easily flipped her over before she could resist. I pushed her skirt up and hauled her hips up so I could more easily access her little pussy. I did not ask if she was all right, or reassure her, or even tell her what I was going to do to her.
Daddy, what are you doing?
Layla had tried to raise up on her elbows, but I didn't want her like that. With one hand, I used my weight to push her head back down into the mattress. She struggled for just a moment before relenting to me. Even when I did this, she did not say no or stop or anything else. She never said no to me. That's it. Good girls let Daddy do whatever he wants to them. And you so wanted to be a good girl, didn't you? My voice was taunting, cold, and cruel. Without waiting for an answer, I buried myself deep within her, merciless and unceasing as she thrashed beneath me. She almost screamed then. It must have hurt. I know that she felt especially tight. I never gave her a moment's thought before I started fucking her, harder than I had before. From the first moment I knew I was bruising her. She would be marked all over, on her torso from my bites, bruised in her throat and inside her thighs, to say nothing of what I was about to do to her. As I fucked her with increasing, almost desperate speed, I wrapped my hand around her pretty little throat. I was not in any fit state to do this safely, but I no longer cared. I squeezed. Was all she got out before she couldn't speak. It wasn't long before the blood stopped flowing and she started to pass out. I released her and let her come to again. She was limp for but a moment, and I felt her body convulse in orgasm, and I laughed as I saw her little hands clutching at the mattress helplessly. Layla was mine, to do with as I pleased. I made her, I owned her, and I would use her. Although I did not know where the energy came from, I fucked her with primal intensity before I felt her pussy clench around me. The little slut was coming again. It was too much. I cried out and let myself go inside of her. I knew she was my daughter, and I came inside of her as she sobbed and came with me, almost against her will. God forgive me. I groaned as I finished, from the effort, the pleasure, and the guilt that came crushing down upon me. I rolled off of her, and she lay there, limply helpless. I looked at her sprawled out and rolled her over, primarily to make sure she was still breathing. I saw her chest rising and falling with relief, although bruises and bite marks were already visible. To my surprise, she climbed up and onto my chest. I did not struggle against her. She deserved my love, and more, for what had happened. She had paid her penance for her deception. I gently ran my hand through her hair and rubbed her back as she settled in. "Are you all right, Layla?" I asked cautiously. Her voice was small again, young, but satisfied and happy. After everything I had done to her, she was still just as in love with me as she had been.
Yes, Daddy. I'm wonderful, thank you. This is what I wanted, what I needed.
Now that I was calm and clear-headed, I felt guilty, but not as much as I probably should have. Instead, I felt like this was right. I mean, no one else would, but the rest of the world wasn't in the room with us. Only we existed in that moment, and I knew what I had to tell her. It had to be true, and she needed to know how I loved her. You're my good girl, Layla. I couldn't be more proud of you for what you've accomplished already, and right now, I can't imagine having you out of my life. So I suppose we have to work this out.
Yes, Daddy.
You don't have to decide now, but I'd like us to stay like this. If you want to stop, then I will, at any time.
Yes, Daddy. But I want this. I don't want anything different.
I sighed. One more thing had to be mentioned. The rest could wait until after she'd rested. If this is to work, then we must be honest with each other from now on. No more lies between us.
No more lies, Daddy. I'll only tell you the truth, and I'll hold nothing back.
But we both have to keep lying to everyone outside this room, I added with a cynical laugh. I don't think anyone else needs to know about our relationship.
Are you going to keep me a secret?
No, I don't mean that. Just that we can never share anything about us being father and daughter with anyone. It would ruin both of our lives, and yours is just getting started. If you want to be with me, really with me, then you need to be ready to keep our secret forever. Can you do that?
Yes, Daddy. I'll never tell.
All right. You can rest now.
You'll be here when I wake up? You're not leaving me, are you?
Even after all of this, her greatest fear was that I would not be there in the morning. No, I decided. I would not leave her. She was my daughter, after all. I held her for a long time, until she fell asleep, and then I slowly rose to avoid waking her, and I covered her with a sheet. She looked so peaceful like that. Not like someone who had been brutally fucked by her own father. I hadn't really done anything like this since I was a young man. I'd had plenty of rough sex, to be sure, but I'd been brutal with Layla. I'm not saying I did anything she didn't want, but there were times when she literally could not have said no, even if she'd wanted to, and it wasn't like we had a safe word or anything like that. It feels like I'm not taking responsibility for my actions to say this, but our mutual desire had become like a malevolent fire, blazing with a purpose, driving us both to extremes that, individually, we would not have considered. My discovery of her secret betrayal had turned it white hot, making me want to truly punish her and hurt her. Maybe she'd wanted to be punished. I didn't like that feeling, but at the same time, I did. It was invigorating. I felt young and powerful. I tried not to consider how society and the public at large might judge me if they knew I had done such things. I had committed grave sins by any standard, religious, moral, or legal. My newfound vigour turned to panic in a moment. I suddenly understood all those middle-aged men who had done unspeakable, terrible things simply to protect a secret, an indiscretion, to prevent what they had built their whole lives being torn apart by a single mistake. As I watched Layla sleep, I could not stop my mind from running through various scenarios. She was so small and vulnerable, fragile even. And after everything we'd done, she trusted me implicitly. It would not be difficult to... No. I was immediately disgusted with myself. Even more so than I had been for having fucked my own daughter. I felt something for her. I had felt something before I knew, even. I would not have acknowledged it had I not found her secret. We had just met, after all, and it was too early to be forming attachments, but there it was. Now that I knew, I couldn't abandon her, and I wouldn't hurt her. But would I stop fucking her? Could I? And was it really just fucking? I didn't think so. Neither of us might be able to admit it right now, but there was more to it. There was too much to think about. Rather than go mad, I did the one thing I was sure about. I showered, ate a little, and then crawled in next to Layla and passed out. Tomorrow,
could take care of itself for a little while longer.
Layla, Father's Days. Things went normal after that, I guess. I woke up to Michael, to my father, making breakfast. I could tell that he felt guilty, but I felt amazing, if incredibly sore. I had never imagined that kind of punishment even existed, or that it would lift the shame and angst from me. Weirdly, we had a really nice morning, just talking about nothing before he left for his meetings and I got to work. I still texted him rather obsessively. Part of me was sure that he wouldn't want to see me again, but I was wrong. Later that evening, when I was eating dinner at Michael's house, I apologized to him for lying, and he apologized to me for how rough he had been, but it was like a formality. I'd already forgiven anything he'd done as soon as he had rolled off of me, just like he had forgiven me after using me. It was a sedate, comfortable, romantic night, almost like we were lovers who had been together for years instead of days. We decided to start formally dating. I went with him to parties and premieres. There was talk, of course. People criticized Michael for the near predatory age gap between us. People criticized me for being a shameless little gold digger. Eventually, though, it became clear to everyone in our inner circles that we were in love with each other. The tabloid sites could write whatever they wanted. They'd never know that the truth was even spicier than their lies could ever be. There have been quite a few pitfalls, like how much to be involved with the rest of his family, and as much as I love having him come in me, I'm not having kids. That's just too much for me, at least right now. We've talked about eloping, though, so that's probably going to happen sometime. My podcast keeps doing well, so I started a channel. Michael still works, makes great money, and turns in great performances. Sometimes we give each other what we need. Things that no one else could. I get to regress a bit and be a sexy little brat for my daddy, and he gets to discipline me with a ruthless abandon. Really, I couldn't have asked for a better father.